you can live out your MasterChef dreams. When you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel, connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to yet another episode of the Shock Factor Podcast, where I'm joined by the ever handsome, very consistent Jake Mintz 2020 over there, and Jordan Schusterman, who you might be thinking, wow, why is Steve talking about vision? Jordan Schusterman rocking beautiful new blue glasses.
Thank you
for this Steve. Week's episode. So how Thank are we you. Doing, guys?
I'm good. I can finally see you. Those glasses I have been wearing in all previous episodes were totally fraudulent, which means I've just been kind of hoping that I've been, you know, making good StreamYard eye contact. And now I feel like I can see. I'm looking that you're over there.
I'm Steven, confused that you set. Described me as consistent. I think that I am many different adjectives. However, I don't know if consistent. I would love to be more consistent, but
I think the problem was I added a vocal comma. I meant to say consistently 2020, always keeping it 2020. You never know when Jake is going to whip out a random pandemic. That's just the kind of guy he is. But guys, I feel like the past 2 weeks have been an absolute clinic of Jordan being an adult between going to the dentist before one episode, now the optometrist. It is just, I think he's going to get 7 flu shots between next episode.
Yo, give me this Warby Parker sponsorship. All right, let's make it happen. I'm ready to roll.
Make it happen. Now that you can watch and see better, we can watch more baseball. And so I want to get into some of the baseball we watched weekend.
Let's do it.
I went to Coastal and Troy on Friday night. I am going to gloss over that. For the sake of Coastal fans, it was Philly Friday, which meant that in the tailgate lot, they had Philly cheesesteaks, and the Philly cheesesteaks were phenomenally good. The baseball, on the other hand, went in favor of the Troy Trojans, anything can happen. And the Troy Trojans just absolutely dominated all weekend. Brooks Bryan, I believe he is a sophomore. Yes, their sophomore catcher on the weekend just absolutely went off, especially in the Sunday game or Saturday game. So I was really impressed with him. But the Troy Trojans just put on an absolute offensive clinic. Like everything Coastal threw them, it felt like even when they made good pitches, they were getting sent over the fence.
And sometimes that happens at Coastal, is that they can have fun hitting there too. It is, I guess, technically a home field advantage, but then sometimes it's the opposite of that. The other team's like, whoa, I am enjoying this place to hit. And that can happen in the Fun Belt. Anything's possible.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. Was the ball blowing out? I don't really know. I think the ball doesn't blow,
Steve. The wind blows the ball.
That's a good point. That's a good point about the ball blowing out. As we know, because the ball blows. but it was really interesting, kind of tough to watch because, Coastal was right on that bubble of could they host, depending on how the next couple of weekends go, maybe. But now it's feeling like it may not really happen as much. But on the other hand, you know me. I'm a college baseball fan. Regardless of what's happening, I'm going to be excited. I was really impressed with the Troy Trojans. Tremaine Cobb Jr., their shortstop,
he's fun.
Talk about just an athlete. Like, that dude was flying all over the field all weekend. I believe he hit a grand slam in game one, I want to say it was. But either way, he was impressive to watch.
Yeah. Fun Belt is... It is exactly that. This is, I think, the conference, the mid-major conference where you keep going down the standings. And you're like, kind of like that team. And like the standings are interesting enough where, Coastal's 11-10 in conference. And Troy is 14-7. So credit to them. And yeah, you're probably right. And Steve, I mean, it's kind of devastating for you. That just means that you will not be at the Coastal Carolina Regional.
Yeah. I mean, that's
because that would have been the easiest one for you, I assume.
Yeah. It's a longer drive.
Yeah. More miles, more smiles, you know, that's what I say. But it's tough to see it happen in Gilmore's final year because, you know, always hoping for something special to happen in coaches' final years, especially guys like that.
They're still going to be, you know, I would still expect them to be in the tournament and go on a run, you know. They could still go
also, Steve, they could always do the 2 seed who wins the regional and then ends up, like, playing the 3 seed and gets to host the Super.
Oh, yeah.
Which, really
falls positive that way. Yeah.
Never see that's where all the math gets involved, and that's where my brain just goes, you know what? I don't like that part. You know, it feels when you get to that point, especially as a team, and you're thinking about it like that, and like it's always like, oh, well, if this happens, then this happens. It gives off like those travel ball vibes of like, all right, well, we didn't play great today, but if another team absolutely does horrible or something like that, that always
we'll make it out of the round robin.
Yeah.
Again, we're projecting here a little bit of long way to go, and you know the margin for error is smaller. Well, I have a feeling that Steve will be at the ECU jungle for regional weekend. That's what I'm smelling. Looking at, I mean, you're going to have probably more than one option in the state of North Carolina as things currently stand. But I have to imagine if you're picking between Chapel Hill and Greenville, you're probably going to go to Greenville. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
You never know. But we're projecting, of course. These are all guesses. None of us are actual psychics.
No.
Speaking of things we probably didn't see coming, me turning into a giant Mississippi State fan was not something I had on the bingo card, but I'm not mad about it, you know.
You know what they say, Steve?
I do, unfortunately. Honestly. And you know, if you can't beat them and they have nothing but beer and brisket waiting for you on that side, you know what? That's an easy join. That is an easy don't pitch, just come and have a great time. Yep.
It is a reminder, I think. I actually want to dig into this for a second, Steve, because when we athlete and sport, like there are these rivalries that get created because that's what makes the whole thing fun, right? Like the history of two places not liking each other. I understand like UVA, Mississippi State is not exactly that, but like, you know, the pain of a moment on the field goes away because at the end of the day, everyone likes baseball and beer and brisket. And I think that both you and Mississippi State's ability to put bygones in the past and to enjoy the wonders of this beautiful sport has warmed my cold heart and made me feel more optimistic about the world that my children will live in one day.
Like, I just want to be a message out there to all the pitchers who might not have pitched good against another team in a big game. Just go to that place because they'll be super nice to you most likely. Just
see now, Steve, the problem is my D3 career ended against Wartburg. I don't really.
The options are not as exciting.
That's fair.
Yeah,
doing it against one of the largest fan bases in college baseball was a pro play.
That's the lesson. That's the lesson. If you are going to end your career in spectacular fashion, make sure you're doing it to a team with a cool stadium.
Go out with a bang.
Go make yourself go to Waverly, Iowa for some closure.
But they'd love to see you, Jake. I'm sure the Knights fans are like, "Ah, Jake, what's going on?"
If Steve's the big donkey, I'm the little ass.
I love it.
So the point is, Mississippi State, you're now pulling for them, and they, you know, they take a series from Vandy this weekend, and you're cheering them on every moment.
Yeah, I'm rooting for it. And you know what? The best part of it, Luke Guth, one of my good friend's little brothers, came in to pitch for Vanderbilt. Did a fine job. Didn't give up a bunch of runs. So we're happy for him. We're always happy to see that. Now, another situation where that is not the case, where pitchers did not come in and not give up a lot of runs, was between Texas A&M and Georgia. We saw just probably one of the most I don't know if it was public hazing, but it could be defined as that, because in the first inning of this game between Georgia and Texas A&M, it elapsed 55 minutes was the total time frame, and it was, I believe, the score 9-8 after Correct. The first inning. And it finished with a score of 19-9, scoring 19 unanswered runs, the Texas A&M Aggies. Which,
this is an amazing box score, because you have Georgia putting up a 9 spot in the first, and then A&M puts up 8 in the bottom half, 1 in the third. It's like, all right, 9-9. I guess this game's really settled down. And then boom, A&M 8 in the sixth, 2 in the seventh. Thanks for coming out to the yard. Have a nice night.
I just think that, like, the mentality of, because whatever, at every level of baseball, all the teams will tell you, oh, we're never out of it. You know, we never give up. We never think that we're out of the game. And, like,
with an offense like this.
With an offense like this. Okay. But, like, truly now in college baseball and with the offenses that we have, and especially if you're A&M, I mean, yeah, like, they're down on nothing. They're like, all right. We got 9 tries to score 9 runs. Like, we get 8 right here. This is easy. This is another. The wind's blowing out. We got 3 of the best hitters in the country. Like, let's get to work. Like, I just think that the mentality of that now has just got to be so – maybe this is how it was, you know, with the -5 bats where no lead was safe. But it's just so casual. Like, this is – these to have 2, you know, 8-run innings in a mercy rule victory in which you were down 9-0 in the first inning is just – it's hilarious. But – this is Jordan, the team I would expect to pull this off.
You and I always joke about the now we go moment, right? Yeah. Where, you know, a team gives up some runs. You get the third out. Everyone's running back into the dugout. Some guy, optimistic freshman on the bench. All right, hey, now we go. Now we go. Like, 3 moms are, you know, behind the dugout. Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn.
Yeah.
And usually when that happens, after you allow like 9 runs in the first, it comes across as like, very shallow, like, okay, like, it's okay, we lost today. Like, there's a lot of games in the season, you know. But you're right. This is the upside. This is the upside of the new offensive environment. And I'm gonna open up my third eye for a second, Chance, if you don't mind. Yeah. College athletics is about more than the wins and the losses, okay? The NCAA is trying to instill a positive sense of the world into all of its student athletes, right? And what better way to truly believe in yourself, to never give up, to always see hope, okay, than this run scoring environment? You know, back in the day when I was a youth, if you let up 9 runs in the first, that was done. You were cooked. But now there is always a bright tomorrow, and that is a truly beautiful thing. So thank you to the NCAA. Always great.
Honestly, yeah. It's really
NCAA, selfless for me. Always winning.
You know, we sign up for this game of failure looking for nothing but utmost success. But Jake, when you're talking about the now we go moment, all I can think of is this video I saw on Twitter a long time ago. It's this little kid on his soccer team on a bus, and the kid, like, they clearly just gotten destroyed in a game, and this kid stands up in the middle of the bus and goes, guys, coach is right. We need to work harder as a team. And the whole team just goes, boo, shut up.
It's such a good video. I thought you were going to – this is the same one, again, while we're just talking about funny random memes, is the one of the kid at the football practice where he goes – he, like, stops everyone from talking. Then he goes, it's the coach's fault. It's so but both of those are your great reference.
It's so funny.
But yeah, to what you're describing, I imagine the reason you're bringing that up is because, right, normally, you know, the mom behind the dugout being like, all right, now it's our turn. Like, shut up, mom. Like, we stink today. Like, we're not.
We just let up nine in the first. Like,
so I texted Hayden Schott and asked him about the first inning, and I go, dude, what was that like? And yeah. His response was, it was the most horrific and euphoric hour of an inning of baseball I've ever experienced in my life. Which I think is a great way to put it. But I do also want to shout out Georgia pitcher Brian Zedlin, who came in. He gave up 8 runs, but went 5 innings after giving up 8 earned, which that is an insane performance. Any stat line you see, you could throw a perfect game. That is not as insane to me as giving up 8 and then settling in for the next 5 and giving up, I think, only 1 over the next 5 against the number one offense in college baseball.
Brian Zeldin with the 117-pitch relief outing.
Come on now.
Dog.
That's not in the job description.
Now listen. Yeah. I know. Because I think it was a freshman, Matthew Hoskins, or sophomore that started the game. Brian Zeldin is one of the old Ivy League transfers. I assume a teammate of Jackson Appel, right? For a long time. So I'm sure this dude's, going to be 24 in September.
You know, there's sack bunts and sack flies, but this is a sack lamb. You just run that guy out there, let him sponge up all the pain. I have a question. If the bottom of an inning is a shutdown inning, if you don't allow runs, what is this then?
That's a great question.
You score 9 in the top and you allow 0 in the bottom, that's a shutdown inning. If you score 9 in the top and allow 8 in the bottom, is it a shit down inning?
Settling down inning.
Other funny thing is you allow 8 in the bottom, you're like, oh, hey, we're still ahead.
Here's what I don't understand. And it's Brian Zeldin, and listen, I know he's 24, like this isn't about a commentary on saving his arm or whatever. However, I'm looking at his game log, and he threw 90 pitches against Missouri, but I think that was the start. But man, 118, because the thing about 118 pitches in relief is that was never the plan, right? There's no scenario where like, all right, Brian, like when he went to the bullpen at the start of that day, the start of that game, he was not thinking, I'm going to throw 118 pitches today. There was no part of his mind where that was like in the cards.
No, not at all. You get a test. You expect something lengthy, like 100 questions. That's a start. You get a pop quiz. You don't expect that to be the same length as a test, So that just absolutely insane, absolutely saving the bullpen for the rest of the weekend, which, it paid off in game 2 of the doubleheader, I believe, where they walked away with 1.
Big time. That's a huge deal. That's like why it's so valuable. So
didn't get swept. We'll take it.
No, you get a win in College Station, man. That's raise the banner. I mean, man.
Most runs to come out of the bottom since Steve had a bad burrito in Omaha.
Wait till we get to Omaha and go straight to that pho place. That place always gets me good. The last game I want to talk about is probably from a place where there isn't likely a lot of pho, and that is South Bend, Indiana. And we're going to talk about Wake Forest and Notre Dame. I don't know. Right. I've never been.
Let's do some yelping while
I got it. Right,
yeah. Let me know how it is.
Wake Forest and Notre Dame. Go ahead.
But I'm sure they have great pho around South Bend. But Notre Dame coming absolutely out of nowhere, taking 2 out of 3 from Wake Forest, which I'm sure coming into the season, nobody had on their bingo cards. So shout out to the Irish. One of my former UVA teammates, Connor Hanks, had a very good weekend. He hit a couple of home runs, I believe. So it was really good to see that. I'm kind of talking about them fast because I am worried about how deep Jake is getting on Yelp.
I just wanted to say, as someone who lives in a, medium-sized city in Indiana, small to medium-sized city in Indiana, We don't have, I will say, pho is not. We have great Thai food, great Indian food, no pho, no Chinese food to be spoken of. So I'm curious what it is in South Bend.
It doesn't come top of mind. Like chili or Skyline, like I think of that.
We're going over to South Bend. That's the other side of Indiana. So what do we got, Jake? You've done some research.
So the people of Nom Nom Pho, like, and I think this is like Nom Yum, like N-O-M-N-O-M Pho. They're probably insulted by you. Okay.
Wait, how many stars? Nom Nom
Pho, it says, Jordan, one person writes in the reviews, this is the best Asian food I've ever had in this country.
And Steve just said, I don't have fun, South Bend. That's interesting. So I actually just heard that they have the best Asian food in the country. So
the owners of Nom Nom Pho, if you're listening to the Shock Factor podcast, which Steve, they probably are after Notre Dame's rousing series victory at home.
Yes.
Let us
Steve does not speak for us. We will bring Steve to South Bend and
just,
we will
pour that pho in an envelope and mail it to Steve.
Anyway, Notre Dame.
It's got good reviews.
Yeah, there you go. Steve's just, you know, fact-checking you, Jake. Okay, Notre Dame takes a series over Wake Forest. Again, this was a little bit disappointing from Wake just because it's like we were starting to believe again. We were like, here they come. Oh, my God, they're going to host. They're going to be a top eight seed. Wake, anything's possible. It's all coming together. And then, maybe not. I will say Notre Dame is probably the ACC team I have given the least thought to this season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have I watched a Notre Dame game? I mean, before this, good for them.
I feel like they're kind of a quiet personality team, you know, like that's kind of always been their MO where it's like, hey, these are the quiet kids from Indiana. They're going to come to Knoxville, make some absolute noise. Don't get me wrong, but they're still going to like be pretty quiet in the way they go about doing it. I feel like, you know, where it's not like boisterous, I feel like is a good word to describe it. But we're going to get into something where we're thinking about more fun, the Giblet Tickler of the week. And this week's was, at first, I didn't even realize my giblets had been tickled because I was just like, oh my goodness, what a base running blunder by the Florida Gators with the bases loaded. And I believe it was game two against Arkansas. There's a fly ball hit to center field with one out in the top of the eighth inning while the Razorbacks lead by one run. Just a routine fly ball to Peyton Holt. And he catches it, throws the ball in, and after he catches it, all the runners like are kind of caught in the middle of like the bases, and it's not a typical catch and they tag up and score or tag up and advance, but they definitely could have. Like, this was deep enough that Brody Donet could have scored from third base if he tags up like a reasonable person. But then you watch it a second time and you realize that as the ball is approaching its apex and all the players are watching Peyton Holt, as you are taught to do, they're doing a good job. He does a thing where he pretends to catch the ball before actually catching it. And so they all kind of do a jump and get off the bag because they're like, okay, time to go. Because I've trained my whole life to, when I see that elbow go down, sprint to the next base. And they can't do that. And he ends up getting an inning-ending double play with the bases loaded out of this deke, where it ends up with Brody Donet getting caught up in a rundown between third base and home plate. And again, he did not do anything wrong. It's like, it would not be embarrassing to lose a chess match against the master champion of chess right now. Like, that is a normal thing. To the get
grandmaster, I believe, is the official term.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, that's reach the top of chess, you are a grandmaster.
What happens when the mega grandmaster steps up and then the mega ultra, you know, there's
different. That's save that for the chess podcast. Then I can't
help. Yeah, I'll save that for chess talk with Steve later. but it was just an insane play. One of those high IQ baseball moments. And after the game, they interviewed him and he was like, yeah, I kind of thought about like, hey, if there's a routine pop up to me, I could make this happen. And it's like, how do you think of that? Like, I think of that during batting practice, like, dude, imagine if like there was a deke where the guy acted like he dove, caught it, fumbles it around the whole time, comes in, then officially catches it, then like just made up scenarios like this in my head that could never happen. And this just happened.
I don't know how we've never seen this before.
We've seen it attempted. I mean, it's just hard to pull off this perfectly.
He nails it.
Yeah.
Because what he really crushes here is the, like, the give of the elbow down and then the mm-hmm. fake break of the hands, right? Because
yes,
once your hands break, then the runner, like, has to go, like, you have to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is such a perfectly done deke. I think we're going to start seeing more people, like, go for this now that this, like, worked, and we're going to get some people dropping fly balls. Like, I think that's
which gonna oh, it's going to go the
I'm
way.
For it. I'm yeah, for that's it. True. That's so true. Much funnier than just catching routine pop-ups. You want to make pop-ups interesting. This is how you do it for me. The 50-50 of, is the kid going to catch it? I feel like I would say my best response to reacting to this clip was in the movie Semi-Pro when Jackie Moon executes the first alley-oop and everyone's just like, what? And, you know, kind of
is that like, allowed?
Father Pat, we can't just have people flying around out here. But it was really funny. The ESPN crew did a funny job of like cutting to Coach Sullivan as it was happening, and he's standing in the dugout and he's like, what? And I think that was the perfect reaction that everybody else had as well.
Last thing on this play, and then let's move to our ad read. So that's your warning to come up with this.
I got you,
Steve. Is what's so wild about this is Peyton Holt still throws it to third, right? So like he, the fact that Donay gets thrown out at home after the ball still goes to third kind of speaks to the bizarre timing and the base yeah. running situation here. It's hard to describe, but if you watch it, the whole thing just looks very funny. But credit to Peyton Holt. And yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it looked like a two plan.
Yeah.
But and really it was kind of just defensive genius.
And for me personally, I love when the guys act like they're going to catch something and then they don't. Like another example of this weekend, or last weekend, maybe an LSU fan named Corey, Tommy Tanks hit a home run to this gentleman named Corey, and it looked like he was tracking it, hit him in the head. But for that, I gotta say, Tommy Tanks, that was my favorite tank of the week. Aside from the 2025 Soldier Tank BB Core baseball bat by Soldier Sports, this isn't just any bat. It's lighter and hotter than any of its predecessors, and this is thanks to its infused power alloy technology that creates an ultra big, ultra hot sweet spot. Crafted from over 2.5 years of research and development, the Soldier Tank BB Core baseball bat is the perfect blend of speed and power. Designed for both power and contact hitters, it features a formula for success. Speed times mass times impact equals extreme power. I've seen it swung. Even the mishits have juice with the Soldier Tank. The bat is priced an incredible $311, which is well worth it to swing the top scoring BB Core bat ever. So head on over to soldiersports.us to secure yours today. Thanks, Soldiers.
Great work, Steve. As always, thank you to Soldier Sports for sponsoring this silly podcast. Let's get to our moments, Jake. Sorry. Yeah.
Speaking of Soldiers, Sam Ruda looking pretty good.
Is he? Is he having a good season?
That's my guy.
I Sam Ruda, the third baseman at Army. He's a fun Sam Ruda, man. I remember 2020, he was erroneously reported to have signed with the Padres. And I was like, oh man, all right, that's interesting. One of the weirder moments of the 2020 undrafted signing period. Sam Ruda is not on the Padres. He's still playing for Army. Good for him.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Steve, let's start us off. Yeah. Moments of the week.
So first moment I want to talk about is one of my favorite new teams, of course, Mississippi State. In the top of the ninth with two outs, Hunter Hines belt a go-ahead home run against Vanderbilt that ultimately allowed them to secure the win in this game, but also the series victory And that was really cool. He just absolutely cranks this baseball. It was a very satisfying home run to watch.
Hunter Hines, who was just bullying the Vandy lefties all weekend and couldn't touch the right-handers. Very strange sequence of events, but man, he is the kind of guy that you just want to watch him hit baseballs far. Again, it was a really, really slow start for him, but he's kind of taken over as Dakota Jordan has cooled off and Hunter Hines has been outstanding. So that lineup is fun when it's cooking. It's a tough, yeah. I mean, what, one strike away for Vandy in that game, right? Or 1 hour mm-hmm. away.
And he's just like one of those people where, like, if you see him walking around, it's like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense that guy absolutely yes. demolishes baseballs.
Yes, 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 yes.
Now the next moment, I have this one labeled Gamecocks make a boner, because a boner, the actual word means mistake, as many people know.
That is what happened here.
This is a big one. Ethan Petrie hits a 3-run home run into the South Carolina bullpen, which, you know, we've seen this happen plenty of times. It's very fun to watch him hit home runs. And while doing this, he's very excited. The runner on first base, Austin Brindling, is like, is that going to get out? Is it not going to get out? Because it was kind of, it wasn't absolutely demolished. It wasn't a no doubter so much. I would argue it might have been. But I understand getting excited and wanting to just turn and watch for a second without having to think about the run.
So here's my take on this. I think it's Ethan Petrie's fault because.
Yeah, it is.
Austin Brindling, I hate to blame the guy who's, you know, hitting all the homers. Austin Brindling's job is to make sure that ball is going to either get caught or go over the fence. And so for him to be halfway, that's good base running, right?
Yeah.
And that's his job as someone who's hitting ahead of Ethan Petrie, right?
Yeah.
Get on base and don't get out.
I totally agree. I just want to say that was what I was going to bring up, is like, whose fault is this? And we've seen this happen before. It honestly doesn't, it's not that rare. We've even seen it in the big leagues, which is kind of wild. But I just want to commend you, Steve, for your camera work on this 9-second clip or 10-second clip. Which did you take this of the TV? I don't know if you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Everything about how you shot this and edited this is just exquisite. Mostly Ethan Petrie's like helpless shrug in the last frame is just masterful work. It just makes me want to watch the clip over and over and over.
It's I gotta so give Finling though some credit. Like, he realizes what's going on pretty quickly and is like waving Petrie behind him and trying to sprint ahead of him. It's like, buddy, that cat's out of that bag.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah,
it's
they over. Know. They know. They
see you.
Yeah, like you can't. And you're also on TV.
It just
Steve's
stinks.
Taking a video of you on his couch.
So yeah, my bad. It is. It has been seen. It has been spotted.
A million times, according to Twitter. This is a million views.
Yeah, my bad. For me, it just sucks that the dude puts a ball over the fence, earns 3 RBIs, and it only counts as a single, a 2 RBI single at that.
But like, I actually love that this is a rule because it requires such a silly sequence to happen. That as stupid as it is that he doesn't get credited with a homer for hitting the ball over the fence in fair territory, I think this is hilarious that it's a single. And I actually love this about baseball, even though I would feel way worse. Like this would be different if Ethan Petrie was like competing with Charlie Condon for like the home run record, you know, that would feel a little bit worse. Then that we'd have to be like having some asterisk talk. But in this case, whatever. It's funny to me.
Since we're on the topic, I do want to talk about something that it's less than savory. You guys know I like to keep it positive, but Sam Houston, happened in their game where there was a home run hit against Louisiana Tech, which would have been, a difference maker in a 5-4 loss where – I won't name names because I won't dox anyone. If you want to investigate yourself, you can look it up, but it is my job to talk about the sport and be a grown-up. A Sam Houston Bearcat missed home plate on a home run, and the run did not count. And it was a blatant miss. I understand. Yeah, I've never had the excitement of hitting a home run, but I would not be able to find the bases. If there's a light show going on, I think excusable. Sun was out. I gotta talk about it because we're talking about silly home runs that did not count as home runs. And
Steve, I'm gonna dox this guy.
You can do it.
Walker Yannick, who is, you know, a very interesting prospect who we saw play for San Houston last
year. He's going to be a first round pick. I'm saying it right here.
He's really good. It's even worse because this is a guy who spends so much time around the plate. He is a catcher. He is the closest to the dish.
He knows exactly where it is.
And so therefore he should have stepped on it. In my opinion, he should have stepped on the plate.
Counterpoint, no one's closer to the umpire when they're bending over with the little paintbrush to wipe off the plate. You know how the umpire has to, and they always give out the and maybe he's thinking, I'm looking out for him. I don't want him to have to wipe off the plate. I want him to just, you know. So I think he's being a good guy and the umpire misconstrued it. That's my final thought there.
I think we're looking at
full it might be here,
so anyway, one random comment, just because I guess I haven't watched a lot of games this year at Louisiana Tech. I just remember that regional game where Jalen Battles hit the homer to left field, and there was like 50,000 people like in left along those apartments, and watching a game there where there's the apartments look completely abandoned and there's nobody out there just looks so weird.
Yeah, because I mean, classes are done, so they might be the dorms might be empty too.
It's so funny because like the view of out of these seemingly much older non-renovated apartments is every bit as good, if not better, than the one at the Dude. Like these are the lofts. It's just it looks
honestly different. Same with a Northwestern.
It looks like freshman housing.
Northwestern so has like a dorm that looks like an elementary school in the Midwest.
Yes,
in left field. But
there are other versions. Anyway, Walker Yannick, touch home plate next time. We
moving along.
Your stats account. Yes, keep going. Oh,
sorry, one of the highlights was playing out loud in my ears, so I could not hear you talking. So I apologize for that. I don't want the disrespect. But the highlight that was playing was Wyatt Hensler. I've said it in 2022 and in 2023 where he broke the single season home run record for Penn, because in 2022, he set the record at 14. 2023 sets the single season record at 18. 2024 sets it again at 19. Next season, he's transferring to Texas A&M because, as everyone knows, no grad students in the Ivy League. And the hardest decision you have to make as an Ivy League player is, am I going to transfer to Duke or Texas A&M when all said and done? And neither's a bad option. Obviously, they go more places, but the pipeline feels strong between those universities. And I think it'll be a little bit more difficult to break the record at a school where he hasn't already set the record, because, you know, uncharted territories. But if there's a guy to do it, I think Wyatt Hensler is the dude.
I love this. I love this guy. I am excited to watch him in the SEC. I feel like I thought he maybe could have been drafted, but I wouldn't mind just watching him, you know, do another year of awesome college baseball. It seriously feels like every week, every day, Penn is just tweeting another Wyatt Hensler home run. So good for him. Good for him.
It's just insane stuff, you know? And speaking of insane stuff, you know, we talk about two-way guys all the time doing crazy stuff. Jack Caglione having good outings, hitting lots of home runs. A guy that has kind of flown under the radar, in my opinion, is Cam Jones from Georgia Tech. But I don't think that'll happen much more often, because over the weekend he threw a complete game, which any pitcher throwing a complete game of any measure is something that excites me. But at the plate, he went 4-for-5 with 2 doubles and an RBI. So this is a guy who absolutely took care of business. I like to think of a stat. I want to think of a stat for two-way guys who kind of I know it didn't necessarily happen in this instance where he scores more runs himself at the plate than the other team. But if a guy, if there's a two-way guy who throws a complete game and scores more runs or drives in more runs than the other team scored, I think there should be a stat for that, like a one-man army job or something like that, where
call it they like get a bum acknowledged.
Yeah, honestly, like just give it the name. Like I think that's so impressive. To I could barely get outs when I was focusing on just pitching for one inning. So to get outs for nine innings while you're thinking about multiple things, that's impressive stuff.
Yeah, I mean, two-way players, you said he transferred, right? Or I'm pretty sure
he transferred from Georgia State.
Georgia State, I want to say. Yes, Georgia State. So that's a cool little glow up there for Cam Jones. Georgia Tech kind of sneaky in it. How about that? Are we gonna have Georgia Tech? I would love to see Georgia Tech in some regional where they can score 20 runs and allow 25 runs. That would be fun.
Yeah, I'm trying not to like go over the records as they all happen because so many home run records are going to be broken this year. But Georgia Tech's another one. Drew Burris, I believe, broke their freshman home run record with his 18th of the season, which if you guys I didn't include the highlight in here, but I'll send it to you guys. It was like a one-handed chip shot that just might have backspun at a spin rate of 45 million. And just floated over the fence. It was really cool. But speaking of other guys who can send the baseball out at an alarming rate, we got to talk about Texas A&M's Ted Burton, who has just been going off. You know, this guy
has an accountant's name.
He really does. And he transferred from Michigan. He's not one of the Ivy League transfers.
What an idiot. Texas A&M, he went to Michigan?
Yeah, I'm sure he gets really, like, when they do the group SATs in the locker room between, you know, Brandon Montgomery went to Stanford, not in the Ivy League. What can we say about that? He also, you know, I know that his ACT score was high, which you don't know that about the low scores. So I would not want to be in a math contest with Texas A&M. Let's just put it that way. Because I think I would get absolutely dominated. But Ted Burton has been going off. I tweeted that as a kid, I was terrified of Tim Burton movies. As a pitcher, I'm 27 years old. I haven't pitched in probably 2 years, maybe three. I'm more terrified of Ted Burton than Tim Burton. And I can say that with full confidence.
Ted Burton, man, he's been around for a long time. I remember, like, he was on the – I mean, no, that can't be possible. Like in my head, he was on like the Michigan World Series, which I know is not possible, but like I just feel like he was there for long enough then. But good for him.
He knew the guys. He probably knew a lot of the guys.
He definitely knew the guys.
You always know the guys.
Man, what a crazy Ted Burton 2 years ago had 74 strikeouts and 36 walks. And this year he has 41 walks and 37 strikeouts. That's just an example. It's like, yeah, I've seen a lot of pitches. I know what a ball and strike is by now.
Yeah, so, I've learned.
Good for you. Good for you, Ted Burton.
Now, another cool moment from the weekend was, I know before the season, Jake talked about how it's going to be weird seeing players play in another team's uniform and how it's weird to even be saying that. But one of those players was TJ McCants transferring from Ole Miss to Alabama. And in a really cool moment when he made his comeback, because Alabama played Ole Miss this weekend, in his first at-bat back, everybody gave him a standing ovation. It was just a really cool moment because, you know, he's a dude. He's got an incredible story himself, but he gave a ton to this Ole Miss program and was huge, obviously, for them in that 2022 College World Series run. But to see the fans welcome him back with open arms is something that made me really happy because you don't really see that too often.
Well, you just took an opportunity to do this. Like, this is just such a unique circumstance where you can mean enough. Very rarely does like a player mean this much to a program and then like doesn't get drafted and then like transfers to another team in the country. It's just a very unique set of circumstances. I love that we're doing college baseball tribute video type stuff.
But no, but it's that's when the opportunity arises, I love that they're doing it. And yeah, I mean, of course, being a part of the World Series team goes a long way. So
yeah, that was cool. Even one thing they shared was a picture of like him talking with Coach Bianco before the game, like just talking, and they were like, oh, the 2022 champ's back. And I thought that was really cool, just really respectful. And I really like to see that, because transferring is a very hard process. You're going to a school where you're meeting an entirely new team. Like, and it's like, oh, by the way, I hope my credits transfer. Otherwise, I'm taking math for the third time. So to not have the pressure of people hating you for doing it, that's really cool.
Last moment of the week, and then we'll rattle off our players and pitchers of the week and say goodbye. Is Paul Skeens. Ever heard of him? Mm-hmm. On Saturday night, the Creighton baseball account. Creighton baseball. What are you talking about? They tweeted a photo with the caption, "Never know who you'll see watching the Jays at Charles Schwab. Hashtag go Jays." There is a photo of two people sitting kind of up on the concourse. One of them is a mustachioed gentleman with sunglasses. The other one is a blonde woman who seems to be making a hand gesture, maybe explaining that she just won the NCAA gymnastics championship. That is because it is Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn attending the Creighton Blue Jays and Georgetown baseball game over the weekend. And you might say, what? Paul Skeens pitching for the Indianapolis AAA club for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They were in Omaha playing the Storm Chasers. They had three games rained out, or like terrible field conditions over the weekend, which allowed for Paul Skeens, who I guess was bored, to go watch some college baseball in Omaha, which makes sense. And go ahead, Jake, and then
what's important to understand here.
Yeah.
It looks weird. Yes. Okay. How is his game rained out? But the game.
True. That's true. Yeah.
At the Chuck Box is not rained out. The AAA Omaha Storm Chasers play like 35 minutes away.
That's also in true.
Papillon, Nebraska.
Papillon. Yes, yes.
And yes. It you could understand how like a downpour hit that and not downtown Omaha.
Yes. However, the other funny part about this that I just found, because I was looking at the Indianapolis schedule, is that Thursday night at the Storm Chasers game, when they did play, was Creighton night. And so I like the idea that Paul Skeens was, you know, in the dugout and they're doing all the Creighton night celebrations. And he's like, oh yeah, I wonder what Creighton's up to this weekend. Let me go scout some Big East baseball. So I love this. Skeens and Livy showing up for this. All of which is to lead in to say, I need to go in the next 10 minutes because I'm going to Indianapolis to watch Paul Skeens pitch tonight. Very excited to see that. So let's do our baseball BBQ ad read, and then let's do our players and pitchers of the week, and then I'm going to leave.
Let's do it. Baseball barbecue started when a broken grill fork and a cracked back came together to make the perfect grill tool. That's now baseball happened? Barbecue. Yeah, it did. It was a cracked back, broken grill fork. Two halves do make a right, you know, as they say. But now Baseball Barbecue makes patented bat handle barbecue tools and cutting boards that are licensed for the best teams in college baseball. Fun and functional, Baseball Barbecue products are perfect for casual fans and serious grillers alike, and a great way to out tailgate your rivals. Visit baseballbarbecue.com/D1Baseball to find the perfect grilling gift for the college baseball fan in your life. Also, if you are like, Steve, I hate grilling, but I really love live action role playing in the park, perfect shield. You know, just perfect for LARPing. I know nothing about LARPing except watching Role Models. Yeah, I've watched the movie Role Models, though, quite often.
This is impressive. But, you've referenced two movies I've actually seen, semi-pro.
Yeah, I can. Every time I think of a movie reference, I go, I know this is a risk. But I fire it off, you know? So
I appreciate that.
We got it. But in the essence of speed, Jordan, who's your pitcher of the week?
My pitcher of the week is Brody Brecht. Brody Brecht's season was kind of going off the rails. as Iowa's kind of has collectively. But Brody Brecht individually appears to have gotten back on track with back-to-back seven-inning outings with double-digit strikeouts. At Nebraska, an absolute must-win for the Hawkeyes. Seven innings, 11 strikeouts, only three walks. Two hits allowed, duh. Not worried about allowing hits if I'm Brody Brecht. And I just think that he's certainly maybe cost himself some money with the struggles this year. But I still think he's going to be a top, 15-20 pick, even with the dismally disappointing season in the context of the Hawkeyes. And I would love to see him finish strong. If they don't make the postseason, he obviously only has a few starts left, probably. But it's nice to see him kind of get back on track. That's been really good to see. So Brody Brecht, pitcher of the week. Who you got, Steve?
For me, I am going with James Vaughn from Columbia, who over the weekend against Cornell threw one inning. He only threw nine pitches, but he struck out the side. He came in against Cornell for a relief outing, goes, I'm going to throw an immaculate inning, and that's my day. That's my weekend. We'll see you next week. And I'm here for that. That is the energy of an elite relief pitcher of just like, look, we got the job done, but don't ask me to do more than that. Let's relax. You got the strikes out of me. I avoided the balls, but let's just go.
That is a great call there. Yeah. Wow. That's an efficient weekend. Good for James Vaughn. Jake, who is your pitcher of the week?
Let me go with Aiden May, pitcher at the Oregon State University. Now, obviously, for what he accomplished, I believe he threw eight innings against Oregon over the weekend, striking out 14 hitters and allowing no runs with one hit. That's a pretty good outing, I have to say.
I'll take it.
Yeah. 14 Ks, one hit, eight innings, one walk. That's nuts.
Jeez.
Jordan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. As a resident draft expert, he is kind of shooting up some boards.
This is a good time to be. I think he was injured for a lot of the first month or so. So he's only pitched like 39 innings, but that's the kind of outing where you get some people's attention because, that second tier of college arms has had a lot of disappointments. And so teams and scouts are looking like, please, like somebody do something to make me want to draft you. And this is a good example.
What I love about this, though, right, this is the final weekend series conference-wise between Oregon and Oregon State.
Oh, man. Wow.
I would imagine for the foreseeable future. With the Pac-12 disintegrating.
Yeah, I wonder, though.
Macaroni and nothing. Oregon State, I believe, will be moving to the WCC, don't let me be, while Oregon will be moving to the Big Ten. No, that to the ACC? To the Big Ten?
Oh, wait, Oregon? I think Oregon is Big what I was going to say is.
Anyway, 10. You get my point.
Yes,
you get my
Oregon
point.
Is, and Oregon is Big Ten. Oregon is Big Ten.
Oregon's Big
I was just going to say, okay. I mean, presumably they'll still find a way to play, right? I mean,
There will be a conference. Yeah. They're going to be close to one another. Well, I get it, but it has a different heft to it. And I would say that in most sports, Oregon is above Oregon State, right? In football and basketball, it feels like that's typically the case. And that is exemplified in Oregon State moving to what we would all agree is like a weaker conference. Whereas Oregon's moving to the Big Ten, right? Now, I understand football money dictates all that. Oregon has all the Nike stuff. Oregon State's not the same kind of – I get all that, right? But for Oregon State, in the last kind of showdown against their rivals, for Aiden May to, like, go out and be like, thank you so much for all the memories. We appreciate it. Goodbye. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. That is a good pick. Player of the week, Steve, you go first. I'll go last.
So my player of the week is coming from the middle of Tennessee. Don't look east. Do not look west. Because we're going straight to Middle Tennessee State University, MTSU, I believe. Yes. Where Brett Vondelin this weekend against Western Kentucky, because, of course, do not just give me the states. I need to know where these schools are when they're competing.
Amen.
He hit three home runs, two of them were grand slams, and I added the highlight after I believe it was his second Grand Slam. And it's one of my favorite videos to exist. So he gets excited. So he trots around the bases. And then, Jordan, it appears that you just watched it. Do you want to explain to us what happened?
It's just great because I'm glad that your caption didn't spoil it, because you watch him around the bases. Like, I just hit a third home run. Then he goes to the dugout ready to jump up and do the very cliche, you know, hype celebration.
We did it.
And he just goes full banana peel, just falls on his bum. And it is so funny. And it seems like his whole team is laughing at him.
Honestly, tough look for the cleat brand. I don't know what brand it was, but this is a similar to a, you know, Zion Williamson blowing out the shoe situation, where it's like, hey, look, the cleat, the knife shoe didn't knife shoe at the end of the day. It just completely gave up on him. But
yeah.
Driving in 10 RBIs with home runs in one day, that worked for me.
Yes.
That'll
still
do
a it. Successful day at the yard. Jake, who's your player of the week?
Well, I would like to mention something about Middle Tennessee State. Mm-hmm. So I did a little jujaling. The mathematic geographic center of the state of Tennessee is only a half mile from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University.
Stay near.
So, and I wonder if that's something they knew when the university was even founded, right? Did they have the tech for that back in the day?
Oh, I see.
You know, they were like, this is the middle of Tennessee State, right? Good
catastrophic. They just
not
had
Central Tennessee State, right?
Middle, baby. Middle. Mid Tennessee State.
How did they know? Like, that's a cartographer's nightmare, like trying to think of that. Like, before Google Earth, thinking of trying to do this before Apple Maps existed stresses me out.
No, I'm so in. I think they crushed this, whoever. And it seems like they've been Middle Tennessee State like the whole time. So that's pretty impressive. Who's your player of the week, Jake?
Carson Benj. Mm-hmm. Carson Benj.
Good player.
The pokes are hot, and Carson Benj is the reason why. He's doing a little two-way action as a treat. Five innings in the opener against Brigham Young University, I believe on last Thursday. But then he continued raking over the course of the weekend with six RBI, with four home runs. He can do a lot on both sides of the ball. And that's my pick. There you go.
That is a good pick. That's another gentleman who will be a first-round pick here in a couple of months. Probably as a hitter, though. Speaking of two-way players, my player of the week is Cole Mathis. No, not pitcher. Ah, good transition, unintentionally, Jake. Because Cole Mathis, College of Charleston, was doing both. This year, only hitting. I don't know if he had Tommy John surgery like Shohei Ohtani, but this is a guy who was hitting and pitching not just at College of Charleston over the last few years, but also on the Cape, where he hit 11 home runs last year. Just had a big weekend for Charleston, is now up to 11 homers this season. Kind of amazing that he could hit 11 homers on the Cape, and it would take him this long to get 11 homers in the spring season. But he's heating up, and he's a really interesting, impressive hitter. So, you know, shouts out to Jeremiah Jenkins at Maine, who I'm also, you know, giving some love here on the show. But Cole Mathis is my pick, who, like Shohei Ohtani, appears to only be doing the hitting right now. And maybe like Ohtani, he will return to his two-way ways at some point. But for right now, he is simply a hitter, and he is my hitter of the week.
Yeah, I remember watching Cole Mathis. I believe he started the All-Star game on the Cape. Like, he was the starting pitcher, which that's not easy to do. Like, you got to really be impressive. And so it's interesting that he hasn't been pitching that much this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, listen. This is, again, I have no idea if he's injured or what the deal is, or if he's just decided to focus on hitting, but either way, credit to him. All right, Steve, I'm going to go watch Paul Skeens throw baseballs past players you've never heard of.
That's a good call. Let me know how it goes. Let me know if he's decided to drop down yet. If not, send him my info. All right. Happy to help. Yeah. Just anything to help the game. But
I will. I'll let you know, bro.
I'm sure you're about to watch a million strikeouts. But either way, if you are listening to this, thank you so much, because that means you just tuned into a whole episode of the Shock Factor podcast. You are an insane person, and I cannot thank you enough for caring that much about college baseball. Thank you, as always, to our sponsors, Soldier Sports and Baseball Barbecue, for allowing the Shock Factor to happen. And, of course, thank you to D1 Baseball and Sirius XM. They did send me something, but it's not for this, but I'm going to repurpose it. Make sure to listen and subscribe to the Shock Factor podcast now on the all-new Sirius XM app, D1Baseball.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I have been saying, maybe one day they'll get me an outro. They kind of did. We are close. They gave me something, Steve, I can repurpose. But I love you all. Bye.
Bye.
The Shock Factor podcast is part of the Sirius XM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.